Hello and welcome to Vanity Project. This is the podcast where we take some of the biggest stars in the world and look at their forays into the music industry and decide whether or not that was a good idea. My name is Bridie and I'm joined as always by comedian, writer, all-round legend, James Colley. Hello.
Hello. I like hearing legend in a New Zealand accent. It's quite
probably
adorable.
Probably a very discombobulating experience for all our listeners so far over the last few weeks because my accent's probably changed because we started recording these last year and only just released them, but I've been home in New Zealand for a few months, so my accent has softened a little. yes, but kia ora from New Zealand.
Yeah, and discombobulating as well, I think has every vowel I wanted to hear in it. We're already off to a sonically beautiful start. We have a couple of guests this week as well that we're very excited about. We have fantastic comedian Aurelia St. Clair and also comedian Alistair Baldwin.
Hey, you two.
Hi.
Hey. Thanks for having us. And James, I agree with that ranking, so I'm not mad about it. I'm a big fan of Aurelia's TikToks. There, I'm basically just buying every piece of furniture she has and trying to just live her life.
It does, like, as someone who a transplant to Melbourne, where I have to like catch up on, particularly like for about 7 years, I lived down there for half the year for work, and Aurelia does like impressions of each, like here's what you're going to find in each suburb. And it's really just handy for me. It's more useful than like a concrete playground guide as to what I'm actually going to find.
That's an awesome change.
Thank you. Now I just need Concrete Playground to pay me to make the saltiest comments about each suburb.
Yes. Well, I'm sure these two can give you some tips on monetizing free content, right? You guys have monetized this podcast.
We're literally in the podcast business for the money. That's why we started this. We
that
are rolling
sense.
In it.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to have an anti-vax segment later and then we're going to sell a bunch of dick pills.
Now, today we've got the special amazing Brains Trust aboard because it's quite the album that we're looking at today. And we're going back in time. We're going back to the mid-90s. So I think let's just start today. Let's really just set the scene. We're going to imagine that we're going back in time to 1994. Bill Clinton is president. A tiny little baby has been born who will grow up to be Justin Bieber. The Scream has been stolen and returned. It's a huge year in the art world. And crucially, yeah, James, it was stolen. Don't you know that?
No, I did not know that happened. I'm already learning something.
Yeah, man. That artwork was smiley before it was stolen. And crucially, we are in the era of the supermodel. So this is just a huge time in fashion. There are supermodels everywhere you look. And one of the most famous is Naomi Campbell, who in 1994 released not just an album, but a book as well, which we'll get to later. But today we are looking at her album, Baby Woman. And I am so excited. This is a hell of an album. This is why we need a Brains Trust aboard to dissect it. There's a lot to unpack. Before we even get to the tracks, let's just do a quick whip around. When you think of Naomi Campbell, what do you think of? What are your expectations going into this album? What springs to mind?
Naomi Campbell, of course, is my role model. Someone I wish was in my life to give me advice. I am obsessed and always have been obsessed with models, especially the original 90s supermodels. And when I think of Naomi Campbell, I don't think this was her quote, but one of the supermodels said they wouldn't get out of bed for under $10,000. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Is that where that comes from?
Yeah. One of them was like, I'm not even going to get up if I don't make $10,000. And I remember hearing that quote when I was like 14 and I was like, that's going to be me. Yeah, here I am getting up every morning for free.
I haven't left bed in 10 years.
So an aspirational figure. We love that.
Yeah. And of course, that iconic moment, slash problematic moment when she beats someone with a telephone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you like fill me in here? See, Russell Crowe'd someone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a maid at a hotel from memory.
Mm.
And when I heard it, I was like, how hard can you really beat someone with a telephone?
It depends on your era. This is the 90s, so they have flip phones. So you hit someone with it and the top end will just come straight back.
Or if it's like a corded one, you can sort of use it as like, you know, in Kill Bill.
To me, it sounds fairly polite, like the result of a game of Cluedo. It was a supermodel in a hotel with a telephone.
And of course she got sentenced to do community service, which she did wearing like Gucci and Prada.
Outstanding.
Iconic.
Totally iconic. Al, what springs to mind for you when you think of Naomi Campbell?
Well, the listeners at home can't see this, but I have supermodel good looks. So I relate to her in that instance. And she really set the template. But I always think of, her iconically wearing a full hazmat suit in airports. And she posted on YouTube in like July 2019 her like airplane routine, which included like being masked up, glasses, like scientific goggles, disinfecting every possible surface. And she, I think, did more for COVID safety preemptively than any government and the World Health Organization did. So that immediately is what springs to mind. And then, yeah, just that image, I think, in this podcast, I think I'll take more of the place of George Michael, which is sort of like a white homosexual deeply addicted to supermodels, putting them in music videos. She was in Freedom 90 with the other, with like Linda Evangelista.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, yeah, she's just a pure icon. And then like finding out stuff in researching for this, like finding out that like in 1995, she launched a restaurant chain called Fashion Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
that within 3 years got like charged and shut down for money laundering. And, you know, she's already, you know, serving community service for the phone incident. But these like weird, like Italian businessmen who sort of hired her to be the face of Fashion Cafe got truly imprisoned for fraud and money laundering.
A mogul.
That's fashion, baby.
That's fashion, baby. James, what about you?
Well, look, I didn't know much. And I asked Miranda last night, I was like, do you know Naomi Campbell? And the look she gave me, the anger in her eyes looking at it. We were on the way to a picnic I had organized, and the fury that I got back. And of course, I knew she was engaged to Adam Clayton of U2. But other than that, I wasn't too across Naomi Campbell. This has been somewhat of a revelation for me.
Well, I'm so thrilled that we get to educate you, because the word's already come up a couple of times, the word being iconic. She truly is an icon in just so many senses. And there's, you know, again, just doing research of this, so many things. I was like, oh, she did that and I forgot about this and she forgot about that. She's been just deeply embedded in cultural consciousness for such a long time. And I also didn't realize how young she was when her modeling career began. She was just like a really young teenager. Interestingly as well, because of course we're talking about her musical forays today. I did not know this until I did a bit of research, but this was not the first time she'd been involved in the music industry. She'd been in a bunch of music videos as a model and performer. She'd been in a Culture Club video, in a Bob Marley music video, and she also was a featured vocalist on a Vanilla Ice song, which is just, you know, an artist that we don't mention enough, I think. Really important to give Vanilla Ice.
That's enough to set the scene for the 90s. You didn't need to go into Bill Clinton or anything to say, okay, so we're doing backing vocals for Vanilla Ice.
Unless you're kind of implying that Justin Bieber as a baby stole the Scream painting to, I guess, give to Bill Clinton.
I think it was
connect the dots.
I think it was obvious in the way I set the scene. Those things were connected. Anyway, I reckon it's time to get into the album. Before we look at the tracks, let's look at the cover, because oh my gosh, this cover art, what a time. Who would like to dissect this for us, please? Because there's a lot.
It's iconic. It's got it. I don't know if it is, but it's got like that classic, like David LaChapelle, like camp. Just she's like actively just mid shaving her legs, and I think it's like what sort of speaks to the dichotomy between being a baby and being a woman, other than shaving leg hair. I think it's, it captures the title Baby Woman, and I think it's a piece of pure genius, and I'm sure she was art directing the hell out of that shoot herself.
And she's also sitting on a toilet. Yes. And absolutely. I feel like that's that like 90s grunge like vibe, but she still looks classy and she's wearing this like black dress.
That it is remarkable for like that this is the shoot. I think you've nailed it with the 90s grunge thing, but like this is one of the most glamorous people ever at their peak. Like, all right, we're gonna shoot this on the toilet. Yeah
It's a confident move. Not every artist can pull that off, for sure.
Shall we get into our first track, Love and Tears?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
two of my favorite things.
That is Love and Tears from Naomi Campbell's Baby Woman. Aurelia, first thoughts hearing this track?
When I listened to this track, it immediately gave me 90s. Like it fit the image of what I thought it would sound like very well. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't listen to this in a shower. But,
what about sitting on the toilet?
But if I was sitting on a toilet, I reckon.
The review that all artists strive for.
The album art is a direction for how to listen to the album. Mid-shave.
Mid-shave on the toilet. Not a shower song, but a toilet song.
And I'm just going to come out with it. I'm gonna bat so hard for this album. I think it fucking rules. And this to me is a classic. It's trip hop. It's got that sitar. It's taking you through to a new dimension where Naomi is even more famous. And just like, I also want to know how to separate love and tears. You know? And actually my favorite bit is she, and it is a recurring theme throughout this album, she'll sort of do these like little spoken word whisper affectations. And my favorite in this track is, wipe away my tears, baby. It's iconic. I can't say that word enough with this album.
Can I also just say, and I'll talk about the song in a moment, but Al, I really appreciate the way you're so far laying out your argument as if you are the first speaker of the affirmative.
I got two today's WA state finals for high school debating. You know.
I can tell as a fellow high school debater / coolest kid there was.
Yeah.
No, I just appreciate it. In this podcast, I will defend Naomi Campbell's 1990 album, Baby
Boy. Righty, point of information.
Yeah, Aurelia, as you just said, there is absolutely no mistaking which decade we're in, particularly with these first two songs. Then we're going to take a slight diversion, but we'll get to that. But with the first two tracks, it is just so 90s, the production of the tracks, the synth, the way it's layered. It's just, oh man, it is like a time machine. I really enjoyed this first track and it was not what I was expecting at all.
I would say I wasn't expecting a sitar. I'm like, oh shit, George Harrison has snuck into the studio. Get him out.
There is actually Peter Jackson's releasing a documentary which is just hours and hours of footage of Naomi in the studio riffing with the sitar guy. It is perfect.
Well, while we're like riding this wave of, you know, unbridled enthusiasm for the album so far, let's roll into the second track. This is I Want to Live.
Was I Want to Live, of course, the Ben Librand radio version from Naomi Campbell's Baby Woman. Bridie, what do you think of this one?
I'm going to say it straight away. This is my favorite album on the track. I love it so much. It is such 90s goodness. I was just like grooving around listening to this. All the layering in it is just like pure great 90s house production. It really surprised me. I don't think the vocal is amazing, but it's kind of so full of drama. There's the odd stab of strings that I'm just hooked. I really enjoyed it. And if this is how the album is going to continue, then I am so on board. Spoiler, it does not continue this way.
This is real party in Zion in the Matrix.
Oh my God, that's what I was thinking of the Matrix listening to this. And also, like, it's giving RuPaul, like, you know, I can just see her dance to this with Ru.
Yeah, I'm getting hit by strobes just by listening to it.
Oh yeah, the opening scene to Blade with the like vampire club with the blood raining down. It's pure house banger. It's got this like tight snare. It's like that piano riff is just like taking you up and up and up as your caps are kicking in, and you just feel like the only way to dance to it is like you're walking the catwalk. I think.
Oh yeah.
My only critique of this song is that I think the chorus hook, I want to live, is not that relatable for listeners sort of living in the 2020s. But in that sense, I guess it really does take you back to a different time.
I think also what makes this one of the stronger songs on the album is there aren't many words. And we will find out that is definitely playing into the strength of this.
She doesn't need many words.
Just a quick side note. The same year that Naomi Campbell released Baby Woman, this beautiful album, she also released a novel called Swan. You just reminded me what you just said. Who needs words? There's no blurb on the back of the book. It's just a photo of Naomi Campbell. And one of the reviews was like, when you look like Naomi Campbell, why would you need words? And I was like, I mean, it's a really good point.
Goals right there.
Looking into this book, and it was like, it's a fiction book about like a model being blackmailed that was ghostwritten. And it's just such a bizarre, just like... Like, I get, like, biographies being ghostwritten, but to, like, pitch, like, your, like, the modeling world, like, version of Black Swan, and then you're like, I guess Naomi Campbell, you know, like, this psychological thriller.
I think that rules. I would love to have, like, the next Tom Clancy actually comes out under Kendall Jenner's name.
Naomi Campbell has also gone on record to say, I just did not have time in the 90s to sit down and write a book. But that is when her book came out, which definitely was ghostwritten. It's been confirmed. It's a murder mystery. It's a gossipy portrait of the fashion industry, apparently. And one review that I read of the book, because I have not read the book, did mention that there is a hilarious character based on River Phoenix called Water Detroit. So that is a little tangent away from Baby Woman, but I think it's really important that we have this full picture of the 1994 that Naomi Campbell was having.
Okay. Does he die tragically young slipping on a banana peel? Like, what is the
When I finish this month's book club, Swan, I'll let you know, Al. Anyway,
that's
so...
the new vanity project, is the ghostwritten books.
Big year for vanity projects for Naomi. But I guess in keeping with the title of her second track, I Want to Live, she sure is living. Now let's get to our third track, which is quite a change in mood and genre, I'd say. This is Ride a White Swan.
Now, I have to ask, is this a tie-in to the book Swan?
Absolutely.
Official soundtrack.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen. That is Ride a White Swan by Naomi Campbell. About this point, I messaged Alice and said, what the fuck have you signed us up for?
And, you know, I know that it would be at this point that I think most people would probably give up on this album. But weirdly, I feel like this album was for me because my parents were really into T-Rex, and this is a cover of an old rock track. But she's sort of giving it, you know, it's the lyrics like, wear a tall hat like a druid in the old days. And she's sort of giving it, I would call this charitably a sort of play school affectation. Mm. Like she's really clearly enunciating every word. Wear your hair long, babe. You can't go wrong. And yeah, I mean, I, you know, do I think it makes sense for her to cover T-Rex as opposed to any other musician? Not particularly, but you know, it does still have a beautiful distorted intro, distorted outro, so you do sort of believe that it's a quick dip into another dimension.
So basically, and all the bits except for the song itself. You love that.
I loved the intro. I loved the outro. The content. You know.
Man, that title page and dust jacket was a great time. Aurelia, what did you make of this song?
If this came on the radio, I would change. Like the other two songs, I'd be like, yeah, I fuck with this, you know. This not so much.
No.
It is so weird. Like, so we're grading on a low bar here because our cover last week that turned up in an album, like we've had a few like celebrities put covers in their album. Mm. We had Steven Seagal do My Girl Lollipop for no reason. Robert Downey Jr. did Give Peace a Chance. Like, it's so bizarre the choices they make to include this. And also track three. Now,
yeah.
I'm sure if, like you, I think of albums as a test cricket batting lineup, you need three to be solid. Because what if one or two fails? You need three to come in really strong. Mm-hmm. Why do you go with Rider White Swan here?
I think this is from the modeling school of, if you want to look hotter, you put yourself next to an uglier model. Naomi is used countless times, and I think this really gets me so hyped for the previous song and the next song. Sometimes you need an ugly duckling on the catwalk just to really make the centerpiece pop.
Well, I mean, that's pretty good logic. I will say that I got the giggles when I listened to this before I got to any lyrics because the intro and then the first kind of like chunky bit that you hear are just so at odds with each other. But also, like you mentioned before, Al, with the sort of play school affectation, this is what sprang to mind when I listened to it. Baby Shark.
That's it.
Exactly the same. And I'm sorry, but every time the chorus came in, it's the same arrangement as Baby Shark. Yeah.
And you have just ruined this track for anyone going to listen to the album after this.
Baby woman, baby woman.
Okay, so that is track three. There's 10 tracks on this album. 5 of them are covers. And there's a really interesting array of artists that Naomi Campbell has chosen to cover. The next one is also a cover. This is Life of Leisure, which is originally Luscious Jackson. Here we go.
All right, that was Life of Leisure, Lovers. What did you think of that song?
I can see this in a early 2000s, like teen movie, as a like a soundtrack. You know, someone is riding a skateboard. You know, someone is getting
Julia Stiles is rich but has a bit of an attitude.
Makes sense. It just makes sense. I quite enjoyed it.
Mm.
So did I.
Yeah, it starts so strong. It starts like before any lyrics, there's like flute competing with like this bass competing with like a saxophone or whatever. And then there's just, again, a sort of like spoken word affectation, which is just like water's like turquoise blue.
It's
so good.
It has to me the real vibe of like a Rocker Stedford soundtrack. Or for our listeners in New Zealand, all of my family, the smoke-free stage challenge, may it rest in peace. That was a great, great institution where you just like get all,
it,
Yeah.
It ironically burned down.
We just get all the instruments and all your dancers, like every single ingredient you have out there straight away. And it's straight just away. It's just big.
Right, well, it's debating, really. You set out the argument that you're going to make, and then you go one by one through your main points, you know. I think it's clear that she comes from a debating school as well.
I did not want to listen to this track, and I did not care for this track at all. The only part that made it for me, firstly, like the lover every time amused me. There was like, did you just run out of syllables? And also the like line, you don't have a job, I've got four. Funny every time.
So good. I underlined that in my little Google Docs of notes. I was like, this is perfect.
It's such a good burn from supermodel Naomi Campbell, whose jobs are getting someone else to write a book.
Yeah, and this album.
Yeah, but also, like, you've got enough jobs to share. Like, I don't have any, and you've got four. Give me one of your jobs. Mm. You still have many.
This song is dedicated to the ghostwriter of four. She's like, I've got jobs. You don't have one. Can you write this psychological thriller starring Water Detroit? And again, I forgot there is also a second whispered spoken word affectation, which I loved, which is just huge, gigantic diamonds.
Oh, yes!
Also iconic.
I forgot that as well.
Well, I stand by my thesis that this album just is the plot of a game of Cluedo then.
All right, let's go on to the title track. Baby Woman. Mm. That was Baby Woman from Baby Woman by Naomi Campbell, a cover of David Bowie. No, this is the original song.
I would have believed it.
Absolutely.
What do you make of it, Aurelia? What are your thoughts of the title track?
I wish it was stronger. I mean, Baby Woman is like such a soft title as well, like in general for Naomi Campbell. I will just say I wish the title was more fierce.
Mm.
And more supermodel of the world. Yes. So for me, it was like a bit meh. But I'm curious to hear what you think.
You're right, I think, with the, like, because the lead up to Baby Woman, firstly, Baby Woman's such a, like, Twitter-friendly title. Like,
at
like,
Baby Woman.
100%. Yeah, I'm Baby Woman. But, like, it is so fierce and lead up. Like, don't call me babe. Don't call me sister. I'm Baby Woman. It feels like Marvel has run out of ideas. It's a woman with all the powers of a baby.
The babies have great powers. You feed me.
As a new father to a baby woman, did this track teach you anything about parenting, about how to relate?
I can finally understand her now that I don't call her babe. I certainly don't call her sister, which would be very odd for me to do.
Call her baby woman. Well, my favorite bit in the pre-chorus is like, watch, don't touch. I'm no Venus de Milo. Can you touch the Venus de Milo?
if you are Naomi Campbell, you actually can.
You can.
Yeah, different rules apply when you only wake up with $10,000 a day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if you've been to the Louvre, but they're just throwing it about like a volleyball in there.
Yeah, and actually the reason the Venus de Milo doesn't have arms is because it tried to touch Naomi and she...
With a telephone.
Just like cutting through clay with the wire.
It's all connected. The only note that I wrote down when I listened to this song was, this sure is a long song. That's all. That's my only thought about it.
Do you know what my thought really was? And it goes to our spoken word obsession. I don't know if you know French.
I don't know if she does either, to be honest.
as it's leaving, just the like, touche, civil play, garçon, bang, bang, je m'appelle Naomi, peace and love, it's a beautiful thing.
Do you disagree with anything she said, though, James?
But at the same time, these could very well be Lady Gaga lyrics.
Absolutely.
That's true. Like, that would be the chorus of a Lady Gaga.
Absolutely. Ra, ra, ooh, la, la. Touché, touché, avec moi.
It's funny, isn't it? Because It totally could be Lady Gaga lyrics, but I think the difference here is that while we're still getting a lot of the drama and flair and excitement, right, from Naomi, which is awesome to listen to, I don't think we're getting it at the full level of commitment that Lady Gaga would do. And I think maybe that's been a supermodel in the 90s. Maybe it's not cool to fully commit, but Lady Gaga is so theatrical that she would deliver on that. And I kind of, with some of these lyrics, I'm like, if you're going to do some of these sort of absurd lyrics and quite dramatic choices, you need to fully 100% do them. They don't work at 90%. This is my opinion. Thank you.
Let's move on to the next track, which has the best title of any track on any song I've ever seen. It is Look Swank, in parentheses, spooky. That is the spooky music of Naomi Campbell. Look Swank, parentheses, spooky. Al, as a lover of a spooktacular, what did you think of this song?
It gave me the shivers. It was spooky, spooky. I felt like I was in Swan, looking over my shoulder, seeing, was it a shadow? Was it Water Detroit with a knife? You know, I can't tell. But genuinely, I think, like, I don't remember a single other thing about this song except that ba, ba, ba. Ba, ba, ba. But that has been in my head, so I gotta say, I think it is a banger, and it's a win for me. It's a pass for me.
Agree, it's a pass. It's satisfactory. It like hits everything you kind of needed to hit, and gives. Yeah, like you could tell me that this wasn't by Naomi Campbell, and I would believe you. You know.
Yeah, I agree. I think the only thing it is missing is a Vincent Price spooky hook about halfway through. The music keeps going underneath. He's like, goblins and ghouls emerge from the catacombs.
And this is perfect because I love that track, and I do think that it's a shame that it's lost to Michael Jackson's Cancellation. And if we just completely took it out and popped it in this, we'd all be able to enjoy it. I think it would fit perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for one, am simply too terrified to speak after that spooky song. So I think we should move on to our next one, which is, the title of the song is Picnic in the Rain, an inadvisable activity, but let's see how it fares as a song. Picnic in the rain, the
picnic in the rain. That was Picnic in the Rain, and for everyone, just a peek behind the curtain, I played maybe 2 seconds of that song to everyone listening here because, God, I hate this song.
Why? This is to me.
It is like a picnic in the rain. It's just a terrible time the whole way around. It's always, every time I listen through this, I go back and check, and like, nope, still a minute left. I'm really like, okay, we haven't gone to the bottom of what's going on in the Picnic in the Rain yet. It does have like some of the stronger lyrics of the album. There's making angels in the grass, watching doves flying from the trees. I feel the first drop touching on my lips like honey, like a shower in the naked air making me free. Like, there's a lot of, we are having a picnic here. And then just like, rain keeps coming, I just keep on running, I just keep on loving, I don't run for cover. Well, you just said you were running. And it turns, there's a lot of affirmation in this song, I will say. Like, it's really like, it's stuck in a world of, is the picnic in the rain a metaphor, or are you having a picnic and it started raining? Mm. Because, spoilers, we're going to come to another picnic weather themed song later in the album that does a much better job at it.
Just like going for a picnic at Edinburgh Gardens circa 2020, 2021, when picnics were all the rage and it started raining. I do not like the song either. how do you make an angel in the grass, bitch? You better go really, really hard with your arms and legs. It's not.
This is a very valid question.
I hadn't thought about just digging your elbows into the dirt, trying to tear up the turf.
Like, if she said mud, it's that would make sense because it's raining, but it's like the grass, it was still just green if you're making any kind of movement.
I feel like we need like a little addendum to this song, like a little spoken word bit by the park ranger who just kindly asks all these picnic goers just to please leave the premises, causing a lot of havoc here. Yeah, look, I don't think that's anybody's favorite song off this album.
There is a great piano little solo towards the back end that I didn't hate. And she does give a bit of like a Christina Aguilera like fighter sort of thing where she's like, I just do what I want to and I say what I need to and I play where I want to. So I think, and then you have this great piano and, you know, it's her on the piano and she, no, just kidding. I think, and maybe Aurelia can back me up on this, but I think for the gays, we don't have a dichotomy of good and bad. We have a trichotomy of good, camp, and boring. And I think this album, it oscillates between good and camp. I don't think it dips into boring ever. And so, you know, do I like this song? Would I listen to this song? No, unless I was caught in a picnic in the rain and needed
advice. Wait, I've got the perfect track for this. Everyone stay down.
Everyone.
I disagree with the boring note, and I think I'll prove my point with our next track. When I think about love. When I think about love, I think about you. When I think about love, I think about you. So when I think about love, Naomi Campbell. When I got here, I was like, yeah, this is quite like, you know, I've been married quite a few years now, and this is like what love is, just a wait till death. Hey, cha-cha.
You're lucky that your wife is one of the many people who don't listen to this podcast. Yes.
Bridie, what did you think of this track?
I think this is a boring cover of a boring song. I cared not for it. I wanted it to end. It went for a long time. I didn't like it in my ears. Thank you.
Retweet.
I know that's Al? Just some nuanced critique there. Sorry, Al, what do you reckon?
The first speaker for the could you please?
I have to be honest, when I was making my point about this album either being good or camp and never boring, it was because I forgot this song existed because it was so boring. It's a cover of like a duet between PM Dawn and Elton John on Elton's album Duets. And to me, it's a worse version because at least that version is like gay. Like it's just these two guys singing, "When I think about love, I think about you." This is just Naomi sort of zoning out. It's slow and sensual. And I was, maybe it would be a good lullaby. I think we should acknowledge maybe some of the demographic for this album is in the title. It's either for babies or women. And I think this is the lullaby track of the album.
You've won me slightly back around, though, because the idea of doing a duet by yourself is baller to me. Like, if she just did both parts of Island in the Stream next, I would be down for it.
I do also think that Naomi Campbell doesn't seem like someone who's ever really been in love, so I don't buy it.
All right, let's move on to our penultimate track, All Through the Night. All Through the Night, Naomi Campbell's Baby Woman. Al, what do you reckon?
I think, you know, most of the tracks on this album so far has been for the gays, but with the lyric, "Lay your head on my shoulder, make love to my mind," she's giving a shout out to the sapiosexuals and to that. It shows she's a true ally. I think it's great. I'm going to have to ask one of our ARIA-nominated guests to tell me, is that a xylophone? Is that a steel drum? What is the metallic through line of this song? It captivated me. Even if I didn't particularly love the song itself.
Yeah, I wrote this down too. When I was listening to this, it's like, oh, there's just like a lot of good 90s, you know, boppy goodness happening here. I think, I'm pretty sure it's a little xylophone motif that we've got going on. Lots of synthy fun. This is also a cover. This is a Donna Summer song. It's quite a bold choice to have the final three tracks of your album as covers, I will say as well, because the next one we're going into is a cover too. But, you know, I quite enjoyed this track, especially, you know, actually, maybe that's not fair. I think I would have enjoyed any song coming off the back of When I Think About Love, which is one of the most boring times. If she just
the ugly model on the catwalk, I tell you.
Yeah.
So maybe that's, maybe my review, I can't actually be very objective about it because I think I would have liked literally anything Sonic at all.
It's the Kraftwerk theory of how you make a great piece of art. It's like just the relief that you've moved off this feeling. It's Philip Glass. She's doing a Philip Glass motif. I'm an idiot because I didn't realize until Brady said it just then that the last song is a cover. And when it started playing, I was like, oh my God, Naomi Campbell wrote this. So here is a banger to end on, Sunshine on a Rainy Day. Sunshine on a Rainy Day, Naomi Campbell, Baby Woman. Did anyone not enjoy this? This is like, even this melted my little heart. What a great track this always is.
This is Joy FM.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What a strong, like all I thought about listening to this is like, great to save it for last. You're going to leave on a good note. You could have dropped this anywhere in the album and it would have been a nice, like if there is one critique of this is, it gets pretty slow somewhere, and just dropping this somewhere in the middle, and you know, think about love on your way out. So at least we can, can leave early.
The only notes I made for this song was this is a cover of a song made famous by Christine Arnoux, and they're both covers of someone named Zoe. Parentheses, question mark, who cares, loser, flop. I don't know who wrote this song, but I listened to this version. I listened to the Christine Arnoux version. Loved both. And it was nice that after A Picnic in the Rain, there is this note of sun peeking through, a little bit of hope.
Oh, that was beautiful. Well done, that affirmative. Sucks. You may rest. Yes.
It did get to that theme, which was quite interesting from it. But it is a lovely way to wrap up the album. So let's go through. So critically.
Sorry, we're not going to talk about I Want to Live Reprise.
We are not going to talk about I Want to Live Reprise.
This is the ending of the album.
I went to him and went, I'm picking my own ending. We're not reprising this.
You're like, I disagree with the premise of this reprise.
The reception of this album, it got into the UK chart at 75, then slipped away, copped a lot of heat. It was a commercial failure in the UK. It was reviewed with "Don't give up your day job, Naomi," which is being a supermodel. Yeah, it's not a good ode though. When you're like, maybe you should stick to being one of the most glamorous and most in demand people on earth.
I know. Yeah, they also it inspired the Naomi Awards, which was like the Razzies for UK music, like bad music. But then they only ran that like Razzie Awards for 2 years. So like.
Oh. Oh, so that's the failure.
Naomi outperformed and outlived. And it was huge in Japan.
It was.
Like one of the most iconic, like, made it big in Japan albums.
That's right. It sold only 175 copies in the UK in the first 2 weeks that it was released. But in Japan, All Up, it sold over a million copies and was just like received really, really well. So sucked in the Mirror with your horrible headlines to Naomi.
So it comes to our final decision. Aurelia, was this album a mistake?
No, of course not. Queen Naomi, Mother Naomi makes no mistakes. yes, some of her songs were questionable, but who can say they haven't made questionable choices? cast the first stone, etc. I stand.
Alistair, was this album a mistake?
It was not a mistake in the least. I think if you're the most famous supermodel in the world, people are going to hold a magnifying glass up to anything you try. I think it got way too harsh feedback of the time. And I think, like, you know, history, she's been vindicated. And just thinking of, like, coming up on Caps to I Want to Live and then dropping acid for Ride a White Swan and then sort of riding the wave down on some Ket to Life of Leisure, I think. And then Baby Woman, you know, it's a lullaby.
This is a 40-minute album. You are going to be the ED.
I don't know. I mean, it's the 90s. You're on the catwalk. You're going to be doing a cocktail of every kind of drug. And I think this is...
That's what happened to Detroit Water.
Excuse you, Water Detroit.
Water Detroit.
River, Water, Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
It's not even complicated enough to do a switcheroo.
Bridie Connell, was this album a mistake?
Absolutely not. There are mistakes on it. The vocals are often flat. There are some boring moments, but I actually really enjoyed a substantial amount of this album. It's an album that's 50% covers, but she's given it a red hot go. And I think it has some surprisingly really great moments. I quite enjoyed it. Not a mistake. James, a mistake, yes or no?
This is the least shit album we've done.
Yes,
Naomi.
Yes.
Aurelia, now thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime.
And thank you, our dear listeners, plural, optimistic. thank you so much, everyone who's been checking out the podcast. And if you do enjoy it, we would love it if you could follow or subscribe, or give us a little rating that will help other people find it. If you don't like it, just recommend it to an enemy and waste their time, and then we all win, and that's thrilling for us all.
All right, it's at Vanity Project Pod on Instagram, and in the meantime, go enjoy some sunshine on a rainy day. That's how we do it at Smooth FM. That's how we do it.